In what's being described as a major breakthrough in the long process of working toward an international accord with Iran over its nuclear program, negotiations in Geneva have produced an interim deal that could lay the groundwork to achieve a comprehensive agreement. It's been more than 34 years since the U.S. broke off diplomatic relations with Iran in the aftermath of the revolutionary government's November 1979 takeover of the U.S. embassy in Tehran and the holding of 52 American hostages. Iran and the P5+1 nations, which includes the five permanent members of the UN Security Council, the U.S., Britain, Russia, France, and China, plus Germany, signed a six-month agreement that obligates Iran to halt most of its nuclear research activities, providing time for further talks that negotiators hope will lead to a final agreement. Iran, in return, will benefit from a partial lifting of some international economic sanctions that have severely damaged the Islamic Republic's economy. While President Obama has applauded the interim agreement with Iran as an historic achievement, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has charged that the accord is a historic mistake, asserting that Israel is not bound by the deal, while maintaining the right to unilaterally attack Iran's nuclear research facilities. Many congressional Republicans and some Democrats, unhappy with the deal, are pursuing additional sanctions against Iran that have the potential to derail the agreement. Your reporter spoke with Kingston Reef, Director of Nuclear Nonproliferation at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. Here, Reef explains why he believes the interim international agreement made with Iran is a positive first step toward preventing Iran from producing nuclear weapons, thereby reducing the threat of war.
The first thing that I would say is that the deal halts and rolls back the most proliferation-sensitive aspects of Iran's nuclear program. And what that means is that Iran is required to halt all enrichment above 5%, and 5% in enrichment is sufficient for use in civilian power reactors, but it isn't particularly close to weapons grade. So it requires Iran to halt all enrichment above that level. And the reason that we're concerned about enrichment above that level is that Iran has accumulated a rather significant stockpile of uranium enriched to 20%. And the reason we are concerned about uranium enriched to 20% is that while it's not considered weapons grade until it is enriched to about 90%, most of the work has occurred by the time it reaches 20%. So this deal halts that enrichment and requires Iran to either convert or dilute the stockpile of 20% enriched uranium that it has accumulated over the past 2 or 3 years. In addition, this deal stops Iran's enrichment to 3.5 to 5%, and how it does that is it prohibits Iran from installing or activating additional centrifuges, which are actually used to enrich the uranium, and also by in effect capping its stockpile of that lower enriched uranium. So while that lower enriched uranium at 3.5 to 5% is not as close to weapons grade as 20%, it's still a concern because it could be further enriched to a much higher level. And so this agreement ensures that Iran cannot accumulate any more of that material. And perhaps most importantly in this deal is that it includes unprecedented transparency and monitoring measures to verify that Iran is complying with the prohibitions that I just outlined regarding its enrichment and its stockpile of enriched uranium. And in return for these, I would say, very significant and meaningful concessions, the P5+1 provided Iran with limited, proportional, and reversible relief from some sanctions in the amount of approximately $7 billion. However, the much stronger sanctions on Iran's oil and banking sectors would remain in place as leverage to try and secure a more comprehensive deal later on. And the dollar length of the deal that I just mentioned, it would be in effect for approximately 6 months. The purpose of that window is to ensure that while the P5+1 and the Iranians are negotiating a more comprehensive deal, that Iran isn't using that time to make further progress on its nuclear program.
Kingston, while the Obama administration and European Union nations are applauding this deal with Iran as an historic breakthrough, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has branded the accord with Iran as an historic mistake. Maybe you can discuss why you think his objections to Iran's continued enrichment of uranium and the easing of sanctions should not raise alarms with Netanyahu and the Israelis?
Well, it's understandable that the Israelis have very serious concerns about Iran's nuclear program. Since the Iranian Revolution in 1979, the Iranian regime has been quite hostile towards Israel, has not recognized the right of Israel to exist. So from the Israeli perspective, it's understandable that Iran's nuclear program would be of great concern to them. However, despite the fact that I understand Israel's concerns, I believe ultimately that they are misplaced when it comes to this interim deal. And I think in assessing the deal, it is vital to keep in mind the nuclear advances that Iran could have made over the six-month period of the deal in the absence of a cap on its nuclear program and in the absence of the transparency measures, monitoring measures that give us a much larger window into the program that we now have because of the deal.
There are senators and congressmen, particularly Republicans, but some Democrats too, who oppose this deal and are proposing new sanctions that a lot of observers would say would scuttle the entire deal. What is your concern about the role of Congress now in this six-month interim period?
Well, I'm very concerned by the potential negative role that Congress could play. There have been many calls from members of Congress on both sides of the aisle, both Republicans and Democrats, calling for tougher sanctions against Iran and to pass those sanctions right now. And I think that could very well undermine the ongoing diplomatic progress that's been made. It could blow up this initial first-step deal that we've negotiated with Iran. And we could go back to a situation where there are no meaningful constraints on Iran's nuclear program. So I think at this point, the best course for Congress will be to hold off on passing additional sanctions, to give this deal a chance to work, to see if the United States and its allies in Iran can build trust and pave the way for a more significant agreement. And if that doesn't happen, then we can always pass more sanctions very quickly if Congress deems that necessary.
That was Kingston Reef, Director of Nuclear Nonproliferation at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. Find more perspectives on the international negotiations with Iran by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.